I need a tall glass of something. A BuzzFeed Unsolved fic written by Amo Sanguis and read by Sylvain as the narrator and Ryan.
Katie Hart as Shane.
Adela as the unnamed lady.
Frecklebomb fic as Curly.
Growlery as Stephen.
And Vidriana as Andrew.
If Ryan gets out of this, he's never coming back to New Orleans. Never. Possibly because if he has to sit here and listen to Shane argue with the airline staff about the importance of emotional support animals on a plane for another hour, he's going to die. Just straight up give up his ghost. And oh god, if he dies like this, will his ghost be human or... Ryan forces himself to quash the thought with a shake of his head. Ryan will never forgive Shane.
I'll see you in a few hours, okay, buddy?
Shane says, well, tries to say, because Ryan is squawking and flapping his brand new fucking wings, and his bright green feathers are standing straight up, and no, just fuck no, he's not getting into the...
I'm so fucking sorry, Ryan.
And Shane is still fucking talking, even as the door to the carrier is being opened, and Ryan screeches, because this is fucking bullshit!
Come on, dude.
And Shane is begging him now.
You can use the airtime to get some rest. How's that sound?
Ryan bites him. Maybe a little too hard. Maybe not hard enough. There's definitely blood, but whatever. Shane's finger is still attached, and Ryan's still a fucking parrot. They're both losers here. 5 long hours later, and Ryan has decided that he's going to murder everyone on the flight who owns a dog. He memorizes their faces, matching them with the addresses on the tags. He screams at all of them. When, finally, Shane and TJ and Devon come around the corner, he screams at them too, not feeling even slightly guilty at the way nearly all of Shane's fingers have been bandaged. He isn't even swayed when Shane collapses in front of the carrier, relief written all over his stupid face. Nope, no guilt, no remorse here. None. Brian obviously goes home with Shane, and if he's just a bit quieter as Shane carefully buckles the carrier into the back seat, well, it's just because he's tired. They stop at a pet store just long enough for Shane to grab a bed, a perch, a bag of bird food, and a few sympathetic glances. One lady tries to stick her finger in the carrier to pet Ryan, and Shane barely has time to jerk the carrier away, making Ryan's beak snap closed on nothing but air.
Shane
stutters, trying to fight his way through exhaustion, maybe a bit of blood loss.
I just adopted him,
he finally says, clutching the carrier to his chest, making only the smallest noise as Ryan begins chewing at his arm.
He's from a rough home.
Oh,
the lady says, watching worriedly as Shane begins to bleed through his shirt.
Well, I work with abused birds. Maybe I can...
Ryan cuts her off with the shrillest shriek he can manage, trying to flap his wings in the confined space of the animal carrier.
Thanks, but I gotta...
Shane interrupts as Ryan shrieks again.
I gotta go.
Despite himself, Ryan feels a sense of calmness wash over him once they're in Shane's apartment. Shane sets the perch on the coffee table and the small cat bed on the side of the couch Ryan's always preferred. Then he grabs 2 shallow dishes and fills one with water and the other with food.
Are you going to dive bomb me or anything?
Shane asks, his hand hesitating on the door to Ryan's carrier. Ryan makes a low noise in the back of his throat. Aside from squawks and shrieks and screams, Ryan was still figuring out parrot vocal cords and how to manipulate them. What he wanted to say was, "The fuck you think? Of course I am!" Instead, what comes out is a low vocalization, not unlike static from the spirit box. Shane, the idiot, doesn't seem to interpret it the way Ryan wants him to, and opens the door. Ryan jumps out, and he's opening his beak and spreading his wings to really lay into Shane, but then the fight seems to just drain out of him. He's tired, he's hungry, he wants his own bed, and he wants a burger, and he wants to... Ryan lets his wings droop and feels himself huff a sigh, before walking as carefully as he can over to the edge of the coffee table and, with a few flaps of his wings, settles into what looks like will be his new bed for the foreseeable future. Before he goes to bed, Shane looks Ryan in the eye, swears,
"I'm going to figure this out, Ryan. I am."
Ryan just makes that low noise in his throat again and turns away, trying to fold into himself as much as he can. By the time Shane wakes up and makes it out into the living room, Ryan has perfected exactly 3 words, and he demonstrates them proudly as a greeting. Fuck you, Shane, Ryan says, puffing up his feathers as much as he can. He's not sure what exactly he was expecting in response. Maybe a fuck you too, Ryan, or something. But instead, all he gets is Shane looking at him, not even cracking a smile.
Yeah.
He says.
Fuck me.
Which is bullshit, because Shane shouldn't be the sad one here. He doesn't even have a fucking beak. He doesn't know why either of them think it's a good idea to bring Ryan into work on the absolute off chance that someone might know something about random-ass bird transformations. Ryan stays perched on Shane's shoulder, occasionally biting Shane's ear just to listen to Shane swallow a yelp of pain, and also maybe to watch the blood ruin Shane's too white button-up. The first people they run into is, of course, Stephen and Andrew, in the middle of filming an intro to the next episode of Worth It. Ryan tries to beat his wings and steer Shane away. He's never going to live this down with Stephen if Stephen sees him like this. But Shane just reaches up and grabs Ryan with both of his stupidly big hands that easily wrap around Ryan's parrot body. Ryan bites him and snaps, "Fuck you, Shane!" Shane winces, but he's already closed the distance, and Stephen and Andrew are looking at him with extreme concern.
We're in the middle of something,
Stephen says.
We can help you with whatever video you're shooting this afternoon. Maybe tomorrow?
What? No.
Shane says, shaking his head even as he holds Ryan up so Stephen and Andrew could see him better.
This is very much not for a video. Look, this is going to sound fucking insane, okay, but I really need some help.
Ryan can't help himself. Fuck you, Shane, he says. Stephen's eyes lock in on him immediately.
Is that?
It is,
Shane says, nodding. Andrew lifts his eyebrows.
Dude, you're absolutely covered in blood.
Better blood than feathers, Ryan thinks to himself, even as he narrows his eyes at Stephen. Stephen's got this disappointed look on his face, as he puts his hands on his hips and shakes his head.
Ryan, man, come on.
Fuck you, Ryan says, dragging out the you and ruffling his feathers again. Stephen shares a look with Andrew, who turns back to Shane.
Ask Curly, he might know something.
Curly knows a lot of things, it turns out. Like, where exactly it is he should be scratching Ryan, even as he coos out stupid nonsense Ryan doesn't think he'd tolerate from anyone else. Almost anyone else. Shane doesn't count.
Go talk to Zack,
Curly finally recommends as he gives Ryan one last scratch.
I'm almost positive this happened to Eugene once.
Really?
Shane asks, perking up.
Why didn't we hear about it?
Curly smirks and lowers his voice.
Because Eugene didn't turn into a bird. I don't know what it was, but it was something embarrassing, I hear.
Ryan wants to roll his eyes. Eugene could turn into a rat and he'd still be the most attractive person at BuzzFeed.
Do you know how he got changed back?
Shane asks. Curly shakes his head and Shane's expression goes dark as he puts his head in his hands. Ryan sighs and hops away from Curly, gingerly walking up to Shane and saying, "Fuck you, Shane." In a way he hopes comes across more like, "Cheer up, big guy." When Shane peeks between his fingers, he gives Ryan an assessing look and, seeming to find what he was looking for, cracks a small smile. The only news Zack has for them is that Eugene did in fact get changed into a redacted, and that it had been caused by stress. He'd then given Ryan and Shane a look that neither of them were immediately able to discern, before quietly turning and leaving them to their thoughts. Their thoughts last a week, with Ryan and Shane exactly no closer to figuring out who caused this or what, all while falling increasingly behind at work. Shane tries to pick up as much of the slack as he can, editing footage for the next episode of Ruining History, and once, trying his hand at Unsolved, just to have Ryan scream at him for his audacity. It was enough to drive a parrot to drink. If only his body could metabolize the amount of alcohol he was longing for. Instead, Ryan had had to get accustomed to fucking parrot food and an assortment of parrot-safe veggies, all of which tastes delightful to his new taste buds, that Shane very methodically researches and picks out. It was enough to drive a parrot to drink! The world is stupidly big from Ryan's new point of view. Yeah, the wings after he's gotten used to them are pretty gnarly and useful for when he feels like dive-bombing Shane from the top of the refrigerator, or whenever the hop from the perch on the coffee table to the couch just seems like too much effort. The colours are different, too, but not really in ways that he's got the vocabulary to explain. They're more, somehow, as if the saturation's been turned all the way up. Shane himself is bigger than he's ever been, and that itself makes Ryan snap his beak in frustration, makes his feathers stand on end. Which, of course, Shane notices, because he's been ridiculously attentive to Ryan's body language, reading whatever he's got pulled up on his phone about parrot behaviour. As if Ryan's an actual fucking parrot. Anyway, Shane notices, and he says to Ryan,
"You okay, man? Can I get you anything?"
And Ryan feels his cheek feathers moving and fluffing up, and he hates the way his body's betraying him like this. So because he can, he says, "Fuck you, Shane." And right about the third time this happens, Shane's face is no longer falling. Instead, he's giving Ryan just this quiet little smile.
"Yeah,"
is all he says before he turns back to the television.
"Fuck me."
The cat bed isn't uncomfortable exactly. It's just that, well, Shane's bed is better. Shane hadn't even bothered to protest when he saw Ryan walking into the room, as he himself changed, and Ryan, with a quick flap of his wings, got up onto the bed. Ryan wasted no time, just settling himself in against the pillow before tucking his head under a wing. He doesn't even look up as the bed dips and Shane crawls in, pulling the covers up and over both of them, and, carefully, tucking the blankets around Ryan. And Ryan, despite himself, makes another noise high in the back of his throat, as Shane shifts the bedding around him.
"I'm gonna get us through this,"
Shane says, his voice soft as the pad of his thumb brushes briefly over the feathered crown of Ryan's head. Ryan pretends he doesn't lean into the touch. In the morning, Ryan is curled against Shane's chest, his head being moved in the slow up-and-down motion in tandem with Shane's breathing. It was a moment that, if he wasn't so feathered, would have been so perfect. But he is, so it isn't. He's just about to try extricating himself, when Shane's arm comes up and tightens around Ryan. Ryan is just about to go with his initial instinct to bite Shane hard, but then the arm is loosening, and a rumbling laugh is coming up through Shane's chest, shaking the bed and Ryan, and maybe Ryan's resolve, too.
"Come on,"
Shane is saying.
"Let's see what we can scrunch up for breakfast."
Ryan, just so he doesn't lose face, nips at Shane's forearm, and because he cares, he doesn't even break the skin. Shane laughs, and before Ryan can really gather his wits around him, Shane is pressing a casual kiss to the back of Ryan's head and crawling out of bed in one smooth motion. Ryan feels his cheek feathers begin fluffing up, and his "fuck you, Shane" doesn't have near as much as heat as he'd like. Yet another week passes, and Ryan's still a bird, and he's given up all hope. He spends his days perched on Shane's shoulder at work, muttering as many vague encouragements through different inflections of "fuck you, Shane" as he thinks he can get away with, while his nights are spent accidentally snuggled up to Shane's chest, just reveling in the feeling of Shane's chest slowly going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's during one of these nights that Ryan thinks, "I can get used to this," just as he's drifting off to sleep. The first thing Ryan notices is that sensation of soft sheets against his bare skin. Then his eyes are flying open because soft sheets against his bare skin. "Holy shit," he says, darting straight up and realizing so many things at once. The world's colors were back to normal saturation. Everything in Shane's room was the proper size. Shane was looking up at him with wide and astonished eyes, and Shane's arm was around his waist, and God, Ryan was starving. Oh, wait, shit. Shane. Shane's arm was around Ryan's waist. Shane's arm was around Ryan's naked waist. Ryan yelps and goes to leap away, but suddenly Shane is tightening his hold on Ryan and pulling him down and intertwining their legs together and shifting his body so that he's kinda half on top of Ryan.
"It's Saturday,"
he grumbles, his voice deep and faux sleepy.
"We're not getting up this early."
And Ryan wants to protest. He absolutely wants to get up this early. He wants to run around on his two legs and wave his non-feathered arms around. But this... Shane wrapped around him. Shane, who's been with him through this whole thing, even as Ryan savaged him with beak and tongue, who's looking at him now as if he's terrified Ryan's going to actually run. So Ryan does what makes sense in the moment. Ryan sighs, gives Shane a little half-smile, and says, "Fuck you, Shane," with as much adoration as he can muster. Shane, his face half obscured by the pillow, smiles back and says,
"Yeah, fuck me."
End.
Guys, that was adorable.
"Fuck you, Shane."
Yeah.
Fuck me.
And you.
That's so good.
That is very cute.